is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Zay will let us know. At 1:30, we pick winners for this weekend's football games with Mohawks on the line. Chad and I currently slated to have to get Mohawks for a couple weeks. And in mere minutes, the great Brandon Lang gets you D-gens ready for the football gambling weekend. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass. Sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Strange week for you if you're a bettor, a fan, or maybe both, and you love your Longhorns and you love your Cowboys. They're both off this week. We've been dealing with that, but there's a lot of games out there. There's also some lines in the NFL that are big, like really big. Three of them are really blinking at us, and I'm sure they are blinking at our next guest. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe Cantina Hotline. We do it every Friday about this time. He is Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com. He's also the host of the Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. Last week, he gave you some really good ideas, like Syracuse plus 13.5. Yup. The Oklahoma State pick, the Kentucky pick, Baltimore and Arizona in the NFL. Some good ideas there. I'm sure he's got more this week. Brandon, how are you?
How you doing, Steve? How's it feel to blow another lead, Steve? Boy, Steve, aren't you just making people feel so good about you, Steve? I just gotta rip Steve any chance I get. Hey, Steve, when I see you, I'm gonna ask you for your American Express Black card. I got a swipe on my phone. Just swipe one time so I can get my money back on the Oklahoma game. Okay, Steve? Anyway, what's up, boys?
What's up, man? Brandon, I'm not sure what the line is going to be for the Texas-Baylor game in a little bit more than a week, but considering what Baylor's good at and what causes Texas problems, I think the smart money right now has to be on the Bears.
Bro, he's going to lose again.
Yeah.
He's going to lose again. I mean, now you're looking at hey, Steve, way to come from Alabama and take you to the Goodyear Tire Bowl. Great job, Steve. Hey, who wants to go to the Goodyear Tire Bowl? Hey, I need four radios on my car. Give me an oil change. You well, man. Sarkeesian got me to the Goodyear Tire Bowl. So when you go there, they give you a tour of Goodyear. You get a little donut, a cup of coffee, and they show you how tires are made. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for the Goodyear Tire Bowl. How much money did we give Steve Sarkeesian for the Goodyear Tire Bowl? I mean, he didn't do much at USC, didn't do much at Washington, and we hired him at Texas. Hey, that's good. Get rid of Tom Herman and bring in Steve. Hey, at least Tom Herman covered and made people money as an underdog. All right, then, you know, we got to stop bagging on Steve. I feel sorry for the guy. Because you know what's going to happen? It's all this drama, and then blowing leads is going to cause him to drink again, and then you're going to lose him to rehab for 30 days. So I'm just saying.
Come on now. We can't go there, Brandon. Come on now. Let's not hope that.
That is a stick right there. And that is the best Matt Foley-esque rant that I think I've heard in a long time.
That was solid.
But listen, you got to keep it real. And the real thing about it is when teams start blowing games like this, it's not about the players. It's about the coaching. And there's no way he's supposed to be this brilliant offensive mind. There's no way they should have scored as many points in the second half as they did after what happened in the first half. That's on him. And then at some point as the head coach, you got to go over to the defensive coordinator and say, listen, we got a big lead. Let's stop going man-to-man. Let's play a little zone, and let's let this kid make a mistake. No, let's go ahead and lose our rush lanes and let him scramble around and stand a man-to-man and get burned. So, listen, I should have been a coach, and I see so much as a handicapper, but that's coaching. And then Oklahoma State last week, that's coaching. So at some point, you got to call it like it's seen. Take the gloves off, and especially for Texas fans, and get a little ticked off and say, come on, man, we hired this guy away, and he's failing us big time in his first year. And listen, at some point, you just got to throw up the white flag. You wanted him. You got him, and now you got to live in the bed you made. So they get a week off. Now they got to go to Baylor. That could get ugly, too. Is the game at Baylor?
It is.
The game is at Baylor, and then they're at Iowa State after that, too. This could be a four-game losing streak before the time it's all said and done.
You know what? Forget the Goodyear Tire Bowl. Hey, we're going to go play that MAC Conference school in the Bahama Bowl. Texas fans get to go to the Bahamas. Get a nice hotel room. get a little sip on a Mai Tai. Hey, we don't mind playing Western Michigan in the Bahama Bowl. Total will be 99, and that game will still go over the post and total.
Wow. They're probably going to be a small – yeah, Baylor keeps playing the way they are. It's probably, Baylor's going to probably be minus 3 in that game, especially as impressive as Baylor wasn't beating BYU. So, then Iowa State, that's the game's where, at home or away?
That's away, at Iowa State.
Oh, boy, they're going to be getting – if Oklahoma State is 6-0 and getting 6.5 at Iowa State, you got to believe Texas is going to be getting – 9?
Yeah. Ooh.
Wow. I mean, well, look at it. Let's compare apples and oranges. If you're giving Oklahoma State 6.5, and they're undefeated with a win at Boise, and don't take away from the fact that they held Boise scoreless for the whole second half. Mm. In fact, no team scored in the second half. 21-20 was your final. So if it's 6.5 and Texas loses to Baylor, I'm telling you, don't be shocked if you see that number 9 or 10, because Vegas is going to be like, boom. And then I would be, as much as they buried me this year, I'd still be inclined to lean towards that 9.5, 10. You know, so right. Let's see what happens. But I, if I'm a Texas fan, I am up in arms, and I'm ticked because the head coach is not getting it done, and you should not lose games that you have double-digit leads in, especially at home. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Brandon, you just mentioned, let's go right to that team. You mentioned Oklahoma State and Iowa State there. Iowa State, 7-point favorite is what I'm seeing here. You mentioned 6.5. I'm seeing 7 at home. Oklahoma State's the ranked supposed top 10 team. What do you do with that game? You do anything with it or you run?
Yeah. No, I'm going to come on your show. I said, take Oklahoma State over, you know, over Texas, and they got it done. And I'm going to come right back with them here. Not only has the underdog covered 5 of the last 6 in the series, but Mike Gundy, going back to 2016, is 13-4 as an underdog. So get your mullet wigs out. Get your mullet wigs out. Put them on, and you ride the dog here. 13-4. Now get the mullet going and get you a Bud Light or a Budweiser or do a little Modelo, whatever you like, and put your mullet on. Oklahoma State puts points.
I have to hold my nose when we talk about this next game, Brandon, but Clemson is playing at Pitt as a 3.5-point underdog. Never thought that would happen at the start of this season, but is there something you like about this game one way or the other? Can the Panthers pull off what is no longer considered an upset and beat the Tigers?
Negative. I get the fact that Dabo's 0-6 against the spread this year. And if you go back to their absolute Armageddon meets Titanic loss to Ohio State, he's now failed to cover 7 straight games. But with that being said, a weird thing happens when you go from laying points your entire life the last 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden you find yourself as an underdog. Pitts looked good the last couple of weeks, but it was 4 weeks ago when they were laying 22 at home to a little team out of the MAC conference called Western Michigan. And their defense to a MAC school in Western Michigan, who just lost last week, 44-41. Mm. At home, it gave up 44 points to Western Michigan. So Pickett's getting a lot of pub, but now he's seeing a defense, and I can't trust any team. I know Clemson's on a down year, but it's still Clemson. It's still 3.5. They will get their first cover in 2 years on Saturday. Clemson's defense does it. They'll do enough offensively. Clemson plus the points.
Talking with Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. All right, Brandon, a bit of a quiet week in terms of ranked matchups in college because we don't truly have one. So what else jumps out to you on the college side before we go to the NFL?
Syracuse. Syracuse plus 3.5.
Okay.
Over Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has struggled. No covers last 4. Everybody got a little excited with their opening night win over North Carolina, who has no defense whatsoever. The Cuse are 6-1 against the spread this year. They've also covered 5 of their last 6 on the road. And this is a Justin Fuente coached Virginia Tech team. Like I said, no covers their last 4. and 6-13 against the spread the last 19. Don't be surprised to see Syracuse win the game. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Right.
Oh, maybe outright for Syracuse. How about that? All right, so, Brandon, there's a couple that blink at you in the NFL this weekend. Let me just start with this AFC North battle. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson and that team are looking good right now, but are they looking 6.5 or more good to you? Are they looking a touchdown better good to you right now?
Take a deep breath. You ready?
Yeah.
The Bengals have lost and failed to cover the last three meetings with the Ravens. Wait for it. Wait for it. By an average margin. Wait for it. Wait for it. She's coming out of the champagne room. She's got her home phone number. Wait for it. Wait for it. Oh, my God. And it's the right number. By an average of 32 points.
Wow. Whoa. Oh, God.
So before you load up on Joe Burrow and Cincinnati and get all hyped about them and this, that, and the other thing, I don't trust any team that should be down 21-0 at the half against Jacksonville to save my life, to save your life. I'll tell you again, if you look at their victories this year for Cincinnati, they haven't played anybody. They got taken to OT week one against Minnesota in a game they probably should have lost outright. Their next victory came as after losing to the Chicago Bears against Pittsburgh that we're seeing is dog crap, and Detroit. That's it. I mean, okay, that's it. The Ravens are balling, and I'm not about – if they play like they played last week, since he's got no shot in this game.
All right, and in the afternoon, let's hit that other nooner real quick. Kansas City, Tennessee. Kansas City sitting here as a 500 team, Brandon. 4.5-point favorite is what I see. Derrick Henry looks like that on Monday night. What do you make of this one?
Derrick Henry on Sunday might be the first running back in NFL history to rush for 600 yards. I want you to think about this. Okay. Once you, Kansas City spent all that money on their offensive line and said, oh, our defense is okay. And that's like the Family Feud, third strike. No, not happening. There are three wins this year. Just let's paint a picture. There are three wins this year. Cleveland, who was up two touchdowns in the third quarter and had a Nick Chubb fumble, and they had their punter fumble on its own 20. They lost that game. Their next win was against powerhouse Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, yeah, proud about that. Next win, the Washington football team. They've lost to the Ravens, the Chargers, and the Bills. Those are their losses, elite teams. You want me to believe that Tennessee just beat the best team in the NFL and figured out a way to beat the best defense in the NFL and put up 34 while doing it? Derrick Henry's going to rush for, but don't be surprised if Adrian Peterson's single game rushing record goes down on Sunday.
Wow.
It's teed up. Chiefs cannot stop the run. They're seeing, and listen, Brown, Julio Jones, that was a coming out party on Monday night, and they have the mojo right now. I love Tennessee plus the 4.5. I'm going to moneyline Tennessee plus 4.5 because I said it before the season began. The Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes run is over. It's over. And Patrick Mahomes, as long as Andy Reid's the coach there, they're not getting back to a Super Bowl. They're not. It's just not going to happen. Their run's over. If you look at their two Super Bowls, Mahomes played one good quarter. Fourth quarter of the first one against the Niners, and that was only because Chris Jones batted down two balls, or they don't win that Super Bowl. And they were god-awful in all four quarters against Tampa Bay. So once you bring Kansas City down to eye level, you're seeing what they are. They're an average football team that's a lot of hype. You know what they are? They're a really, really hot stripper that drives a Pinto. That's what they are.
that got less hot really quickly.
Yeah, the Pinto does have dice in the rearview mirror, but it is still a Pinto.
Exactly right.
Yeah, the dice are strong.
Hold on, wait for it, and pink. The dice.
Yeah, you gotta have that. Gotta have that.
Brandon, anything else you like about the NFL weekends?
You touched on it. The Titans, Baltimore,
And I'm going to the Raider game, and I bought the half point, laid 2.5, and looking forward to it's my first Raider game. Me and my brother, who's got season tickets,
nice.
I'm looking forward to banging out, and then of course we'll split. He'll go home to the wife, and I'll walk right across the street to Crazy Horse 3 and look for that hot stripper that drives a Pinto. So
there you go. Hey, real quick, Brandon.
The two big favorites. I would take Detroit. I would take Detroit plus the points. I think that's way too many. They've been competitive. It's a flat spot for the Rams, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Arizona is going to score 40 plus and cover that number. Mark my words. People don't realize how good A.J. Green is. People don't realize that if A.J. Green had a quarterback, he'd be a Hall of Famer. But he had Andy Dalton for most of his career. And now offset Hopkins. This game for Arizona, and believe me, Kingsbury knows it, it's personal for Watt and Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very personal. And that team will rally around them. And Mitch Sims on the road has been really, really bad. This is gonna get ugly. So.
That is Brandon Lang. BrandonLang.com. He's a host of the Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. And today he debuted the drunk Texas booster griping about Steve Sarkisian. Brandon, you got to work on it, baby. I loved it. I loved the debut. We need more of that. Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, I'm going to the ball. Let's go.
Thank you, brother. Oh, my God, that was so good. I don't think
Thanks, Brandon.
I've heard Brandon Lang go off on a lot of things, but I don't think I've ever heard the Southern accent, Brandon Lang. Have you ever heard him do a Southern accent?
That was funny, and I said it in the moment, but I'm pretty sure that was influenced by Matt Foley. That was some good stuff. Brandon brings the fire a lot of times. It's one of the reasons why we love talking with him throughout the course of the year. That was literally some of his finest work.
That was great. Every Friday about 1:05, we let Brandon Lang do that for you and try to help you with a few games as well. Weird week. No Longhorns, no Cowboys. Maybe you just chill out and don't put anything on it, or maybe you put a little scratch on it and you listen to a couple ideas from Brandon. Or maybe you go with what we pick. Up next, Coors Light, six-pack picks. Isaiah's got a slim lead, which means Trey and I would have to get Mohawks, but I'm looking to make my move today. We'll pick six games coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Rolling through a Friday. Thanks to Brandon Lang for his time. We started the show with Brian Jones, as we do every Friday. J.D. Lewis jumped in to help you with fantasy because he couldn't do it yesterday. You can go back and listen to that in the first hour later on. Isaiah Collier producing today. Isaiah, what do you got?
This is Naughty by Nature, Feel the Flow. Classic.
Naughty by Nature on a Friday. By the way, I got a little traveling to do this afternoon. I think I might have some Wu-Tang in my future today. 28? Is that what you said? 28 shells? 28
38
cartridges?
Chambers.
38 chambers. My
bad. Yeah,
38 chambers. I knew it was something to do with a gun. 38 chambers. I think that might be today. I think that might be a little bit today. There aren't 38 tracks on it, are there?
I don't think so.
I'm getting very old, man, when it comes to albums. Because now in the digital world, everybody's just throwing everything they got at us.
I think there's only a couple of sketch tracks on that one, too. I think it's mostly music, if I'm remembering correctly.
What's a sketch track?
You recall, Zay?
Oh,
where they,
know,
where like, they do like a little sketch in between songs.
Oh, yeah, right. I got you. Like a Outkast type of thing. Where you got a little vignette going on.
There was a lot of rap that was doing. I don't know if that's continued into the 2010s, but that was very common in the 1990s.
Eminem visiting the agent.
Yeah.
Eminem going to the record guy, right?
Yeah, Dre and Snoop did a fair amount of that. Back in the early to mid-90s, too.
No, those are cool. As long as they're good, I got no problem with it. Isaiah Collier, nice enough to produce, and then the niceness ends there because he's beating Trey and myself in the Pick'em situation
like
with Coors Light. He tried to help us yesterday with our Supreme picks, the Supreme Lending and Chris Waters picks. This is just where Isaiah is trying to entertain the whole building by making Trey and me get Mohawks. How excited are you at this prospect, Isaiah?
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
should
stoked.
Be.
You
yeah.
feeling confident this week?
Oh, yeah.
You'll feeling never good? Have the okay. people of this building more behind you than they are right now.
No, they are definitely behind you. Now, I've realized we've gotten to this point, and we all know the games we're picking, but I have not told you all the lines. But I think you know the basic lines here. So,
general idea.
All right, so Coors Light six-pack picks. The way this works is, since Isaiah is in the lead with 16 wins, I got 15, Trey's got 11. Isaiah will pick every game first, then I'll go, then Trey will go, and we'll see where it is. See if Trey wants to get a little, you know, get a little creative.
A little frisky.
Get a little frisky and have some two to one bets and 2-to-1 picks here. Thanks to Coors Light for being a great partner of ours. I know I've got some Coors Light in my future this weekend on the off weekend. All right, so let's start, gentlemen. College or pro? Isaiah, since you're leading.
College.
Start with college again. Okay. Let's go ahead and start with this weird one, the Clemson Pitt game. Pitt at home, favored by 3.5. God help us all. Isaiah, what do you like?
I'm going with the Tigers. Yeah, I'm going with Clemson. I said yesterday, Dan Marino ain't coming in anytime soon. I'm going with Clemson and them boys.
Going with Clemson. Well, we'll just go ahead and force Trey's hand right away. I like Clemson too, Trey. With a little +3.5. I get Dabo +3.5. I like it. Let's do it.
Everybody is picking Clemson in this game. And usually when everybody just picks based on how things have been in the past, it goes the other direction. Give me the Panthers.
Ooh, you like the Cody, what's his name, Cody Pickett? The Cody Pickett Heisman run?
Sure.
That's what people will say if he wins this game. You realize that, right? They're going to say he's going to New York.
Is he a running back?
No, he's the quarterback.
That's how little I know about this game.
All right, that's Clemson and Pitt. Let's go to the Big 12 game, gentlemen. Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Iowa State a 7-point favorite, even though Oklahoma State is the top 10 team. Isaiah, what do you think?
Yeah, I got Oklahoma State to cover, but I don't think they're going to win the game.
Oklahoma State to cover, but
Iowa State wins.
Not win. You take cover but not win the game.
Yes. So he's taking Oklahoma State.
Taking Oklahoma State. I gotcha. Whoo, man, this is that game that I just feel like Mike Gundy is going to flat out lose. But I'm all about the moment. I trust the version I'm seeing. I'll go Oklahoma State as well, +7. I get +7 with Gundy, and the way that defense is playing, I got to take it. I got to take the +7, Trey. I'm so sorry to put you in this situation again, but I got to do it.
Bleep me. Everybody's taking Oklahoma State with this game. Give me Iowa State.
There it is. There it is. Iowa State for Trey on that one.
I may just come in with the Mohawk on Monday.
Yeah, you may just get
I lose both of these games. It's over.
All right, let's work our way from the bottom on these NFL games. Let's start with this Indy San Francisco game. The Niners at home favored by 4. Isaiah, what do you think?
This is the North Dakota State Bowl?
This is the North Dakota State Bowl. That is true.
Right, yeah.
Mr. Lance and Mr. Wentz getting together.
Oh, man. What's the line?
-4.
Is Lance actually starting this one? I thought he was out for a couple weeks.
He may be. They're both involved, but yeah, I don't know if they're both playing.
Both on rosters.
True.
I'm going to go with the Colts.
Going Colts?
I'm going with the Colts, yeah.
Colts and +4. Wow, Isaiah and I are thinking just alike. We're going to be pacing each other. I like the Colts too, Trey. +4, what do you think?
You GD coward, you. You GD coward. Give me San Francisco here. I think they're going to look a little bit sharper coming off the bye week.
For the record, I made these picks way ahead of time. Isaiah and I didn't
talk. I don't even want to hear it.
I had them all written down throughout the
day.
You're
able to change your mind in the moment.
How about Chicago?
Instead of forcing me to.
How about Chicago at Tampa Bay? Bucks favored by 12.5. Isaiah, do you trust Tom Brady that much?
Yeah, I do. Yeah? Take Tampa Bay.
Go in Tampa. I am not
you
doing that.
You are a self-loathing fan. I knew you would pick the Bears in this one.
And it's not just about self-loathing. No Gronk, no Antonio Brown. Always changes that offense. No Levante David. And no, who else is it? No Richard Sherman on defense. The Bucs are going to win this game, but that's too many points in an NFL game. I'll take Chicago +12.5.
Wait, Antonio Brown's out too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Give me Chicago in that one.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, he really is Tom Brady's favorite receiver. It's a little bit disappointing for Mike Evans and Godwin fans because they were so good with Jameis Winston, but that is clearly no longer the case with Tom Brady, especially when Antonio Brown is in the fray. Those guys will obviously see more in the way of targets this week, but I feel like Tom is going to end up a little bit bamboozled at times with that very feisty Bears defense and not knowing who to throw the football to when pressure is in his face.
They're so sleepy when those two guys don't play.
Yeah.
The Bucs offense is just sleepy when they don't play. This is the game last year where Tom Brady forgot it was fourth down, by the way. So this was a key game for them last year. They turned it around right after that and went on to win a Super Bowl. We'll see what it looks like on Sunday. All right, gentlemen, Kansas City at Tennessee. Brandon Lang was leaning towards the Titans. It's the Chiefs that are favored by 4.5. Isaiah, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, Titans for sure.
You going Titans?
Yeah.
It's a no doubt, no brainer. Oh, man. I'll take the team that gets me value here, and that is Tennessee. I'll go Tennessee plus 4.5. What do you think, Trey? Come on, it's the Chiefs. We're leaving you with the Chiefs? I mean, that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, you guys did this to me last week also. It didn't work out very well.
Okay.
At the same time, Tennessee is as injured in their secondary as Tampa Bay is now.
There you go.
So Pat Mahomes should have his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Derrick Henry is going to get the single-game rushing record this weekend like Brandon Lang suggested might happen. Do I hope it happens for fantasy purposes? Absolutely.
Yeah, you do.
Is it going to happen? No. Chiefs cover.
He likes the Chiefs covering it by 5 or more, so Trey likes the Chiefs to win that one. One more. Let's go Cincinnati, Baltimore. Ravens favored by 6.5. Isaiah, how much do you trust Lamar?
Yeah, Lamar's my guy. Y'all know that, but that's a classic AFC North battle. Mm-hmm. I do like the Bengals to cover.
Okay.
Not to win the game necessarily, but we're taking the Bengals here.
In Lamar, I trust. Trey, we'll give you a split here. You can do whatever you want because I do think Baltimore wins this by 7 or more. Brandon laid those numbers out. I'm going to fall for it. I'm taking Baltimore.
I think Cincinnati at least covers. I'm tempted to pick them outright, but since he does cover that line, they keep it, we'll say, in the 3-4 range, if not win it.
Every single game is a 2-on-1 battle at this point. We'll see if Isaiah can hold his lead and keep the Mohawks on Trey's head and my head. And remember, if we can turn this, Isaiah has to go clean shaven for the first time in how long, Isaiah?
Oh, since high school, so over 10 years.
Since high school, over 10 years. By the way, I'm assuming your new wife understands that this is going on.
Yes.
Has she reacted? What's her reaction?
Well, she already nixed the Mohawk idea.
Right, she's the one.
Oh, yeah, she
said no to the Mohawk. Because she's got you guys have the wedding coming up right before we would pay this off. About a month or so after y'all getting married is when this would
be. Yeah, I told y'all, I'm not looking like no fat Wesley Snipes and Blade. That is not going to happen.
Man.
Oh,
you never know, she might love the clean-shaven version of you and make you keep it that way.
Well, yeah, clean-shaven, maybe. We'll see. Too much work.
I mean, if I were you, I'd rather stick with what you got now because it's less work. Do what Trey does, too. Trey usually keeps the facial hair going all the time. I wish I could and have it look good because it's less work.
What does your facial hair look like? Because it looks like you have whiskers.
It's just inconsistent.
Oh, it's patchy?
It's inconsistent. I get it all up under the chin.
Oh, you're Billy Goat.
But I can't get it to... You were talking about Hulk Hogan the other day, and you may go as Hulk Hogan for this volleyball thing this weekend.
I'm out of that, by the way.
I can't go full mustache because this little part in the middle won't connect.
Oh, you go reverse Hitler with your facial hair.
Exactly. That's a good way to say that. And then I don't connect down here. It's just not good. I wish it was. Trust me. I would grow facial hair in a second if I could do it consistently.
You know what? I don't believe you because you have a good thick head of hair and you just shave that.
All right. I'll tell you what.
Every week.
Here's the deal. If I end up being one of the losers and I have to go Mohawk, then during the 2 months where you said I have to grow it out, I'll also let the face grow. I won't touch a thing.
Yes.
I won't touch anything for 2 months.
As somebody who regularly grows facial hair, you still need to be able to clean up around the upper lip. You don't want that growing over your mouth.
All right.
That gets a little bit gnarly.
I appreciate you allowing me lip cleaning status.
Plus, I do want to see the reverse negative Hitler mustache.
It's not good. I get so jealous when I see mustaches, like really good full mustaches. Just, oh, God, I can't do it. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't have that either. Mine looks really wiry and not fully grown in, like, I don't know. Who has a good mustache around here? Somebody who has that like Mario Luigi push broom mustache?
Haven can grow a great mustache.
He can, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So with me, it looks like the stage of a chia pet before it really takes hold.
Mm.
Like before it really sprouts, that's what to me my facial hair is.
Or like that Beavis and Butthead episode where they try and they try and glue facial hair, or they try and give themselves facial hair by cutting down there and then gluing it to their faces.
What about you've seen Team America World
yep.
Police?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that one too.
Oh God, when they do the montage of the disguises and they actually reveal it, that is so good. So good. Mm-hmm. All right, there's the Coors Light six-pack picks. We will see what happens there. Isaiah Collier leads that right now. And up next, Isaiah Collier leads us in Where We At in Society. Coming up at 2:05, it's Degenerate Number 2. He is Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson. He moved his schedule around last week because he was at a wedding. We'll find out how the wedding went. We'll talk Presbyterian because they went 105 on the combined points in that game, and they've got a game this week. Plus, we'll get some of his other thoughts on the bigger games from Nesson. He's also from the Chicken Dinner podcast. That's coming up at 2:05. We are having fun on a Friday. We hope you are as well. Keep it right here on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
It is Friday. Isaiah Collier producing. There it is. I knew this one. I was just thinking, look, he's still trying to find wedding songs. Like, Dan, that's what you're doing. All right, how would this go over at your wedding? Be honest.
Yo, this would be a hit.
Yeah?
Oh, Barry Manilow? Come on.
Hey. You guys realize what's going on in this song, right? This is one of the greatest cover songs. Not cover, truly, but it's covering something up. He sings like that, and you want to just, oh, yeah. This is a song about somebody getting shot and killed in a club.
Whoa.
Yes. This is a song.
I love that.
This is a song about somebody getting shot in cold blood.
All right, respect now.
It's a two-man woman love triangle that involves murder, and then years later they go back to the club and, dude, it's heavy.
His name was Rico.
His name was Rico. And it's got this great sinister story, but when you sing it that way, his name was Rico. Hey, how are you? Good to see you tonight. It covers up the fact that people are dying in this song. Barry's got a harder edge than you ever give him credit for.
And then the punches flew and the chairs were smashed in two.
Yes.
There was blood and a single gunshot, but just who shot who?
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Never knew it.
I'm telling you, I didn't know it either. A few years ago, I looked into the lyrics of that song. Because you just hear it, the first line even.
She lost her youth, and she lost her Tony, and now she's lost her mind.
Right? Dude gets shot, she goes crazy, and then later she's back in the club trying not to be crazy. It's a wild little story.
I love songs whose tone are deceptive for what's actually being said in the song.
Yep.
Like another great example of that is Otis Redding sitting at the dock of the bay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just assumes, oh yeah, such a chill song, just makes me so happy. Listen to the lyrics of that song. That dude is waiting to die at the edge of the water.
Yep, that's a good example.
No Rain by Blind Melon's another one.
That is a good one. Goodbye Earl by the Chicks, the old school Dixie Chicks.
Earl's Gonna Die, yeah.
That song's got a very peppy feel to mm-hmm. it, but if you really listen to obviously what's being said, it's like, whoa, okay.
Goodbye, Earl.
Wow. That was not what I expected. That's a long way to go. You play a little Barry Manilow and you get Trey to do a Dixie Chicks tune. That's wide range right there. Fantastic. All right, so Isaiah Collier just took us to the Copacabana. Who knows where we're going next? We know where we're going at 2 with Sammy P. from Nesson. We'll talk Presbyterian and other such craziness, but right now, let's go Where Are We At in Society, see where Isaiah wants to go.
Where are we at in society today?
Today's Where Are We At in Society, if I can get it out, is brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Get yourself on the schedule like we are at the Elling household. They come out every couple of weeks, mow the lawn, they take care of the bushes when need be. They'd be happy to help you out as well, but you need to get on the schedule at slplawncare.com.
Her name was Lola. All right, so where are we going? You going to take us to a story in Cuba where people get killed or what?
No, not today, fellas.
No? Okay.
Not today.
All right.
So, high school teacher in California placed on leave because she was making racist sounds, Native American sounds.
What?
When she was trying to teach math.
Mm.
Yeah.
Racist sounds while trying to teach math?
It didn't help.
Racist Native American sounds?
Yes.
Is it racist if I guess what the sounds are?
Oh, here we go.
Go ahead.
Well, no, because that requires me to... Goodbye, Earl. And I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want that on tape.
You probably don't. All right. So what happened now?
So she was teaching the class. She has on basically Thanksgiving attire. So that didn't help either.
Okay.
So, she's pacing, yelling Sekatoa.
Sekatoa?
Yeah. Sekatoa. Supposed to help trigonometry in some type of way. I don't know. I didn't get this far in math. I wasn't that bright.
Okay.
But, yeah, they placed her on leave because this video went viral. She's going up and down the aisles yelling Sekatoa like she's a Florida State Seminole. And, yeah.
She didn't have a spear that she stuck in the ground.
No, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, if she was doing, that would have been dope. Like, I would have been,
right.
She's just a Florida State fan.
Hey, whatever gets you into trig, right? Whatever gets you into the math, man.
Yeah, so they placed her on leave, and.
Now, are you talking about the Sekatoa, like that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I never would have even thought of that one. I was thinking of something else. I'm really glad I didn't do it now.
So did one of the children get offended? Is that what happened?
I mean, everybody gets offended nowadays. Mm. She just went viral because she looks absolutely ridiculous.
She went in full costume in a math class?
Yeah.
Why is she dressed up? I don't understand. She's a math teacher.
I had a math teacher at Newman Smith High School who would dress up for occasions.
See, this made you
try and help drive points across, but it was never racially motivated like that.
It may be a Halloween thing. My dad,
or ethnically motivated.
When my dad was teaching, Doc Hastings was all about the Halloween costumes every year. He'd do all kinds of different stuff. So I get it. Maybe that's what it is. But yeah, the idea that a child might have gotten offended during a math class, like there's something. I don't know. I'm almost encouraged by that. Like, at least you're paying attention enough to get offended. I don't know.
I'm just wondering if this teacher, like, sometime this semester or maybe over the summer, went through some sort of peyote ceremony out in the California desert, and she thought that enabled her to be able to do something like this because she really feels the spirit of the cactus.
All right, let's throw it out. Weirdest or creepiest thing a teacher ever did at a school? That you either heard about at the school, you were in the class. What's the weirdest thing you ever heard of a teacher doing?
Do you have something on the top of your head? I'm going to have to think about this for a sec.
He asked if she would take off her shoe. She did, and he smelled it in front of the class.
What?
He didn't work the next day. That that happened on like a Thursday, Trey, and my man didn't work on Friday.
What did he teach?
After that, nothing. No, it was, what was that class? I'm just going to make it a good end of the story and say biology. It was either history or biology.
Okay. Yeah. Zay, do you have an example?
Yeah, one of my teachers was caught going to a student's, like, performance or something. She was singing downtown, and after the performance, she was caught sitting on homeboy's lap. And yeah, he wasn't at work the next day either.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Somebody says the student who recorded / posted is Native American. Watch the video. Definitely over the top is what they're saying on the text line.
The student who complained is Native American?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Even if it wasn't somebody who was Native American.
Yeah, right. But specifically once you know, like if you have that knowledge, I'm assuming she would have. In this, maybe you're going to get overly dressed up and go dancing around and math class?
Here's what I hope, because this is obviously tone deaf at the very least. like, hopefully this isn't one of those teachers who's just a weirdo to begin with and does this sort of stuff all the time. And she's just, she's so aloof, she doesn't realize what she's doing and isn't going to get fired as a result. If she was being intentionally cruel and intentionally racist or trying to be insensitive like that, then she should be dealt with accordingly. If she's just one of those space cadet teachers, right, which there are a lot of in this world, who tries too hard to be creative at times, then hopefully they respond as such,
yeah,
too.
That's fair. This says we had some student athletes in high school where I grew up that were going in and getting some extra counseling from the counselor. Fair enough.
I don't know what was going on at my prudish high school because I didn't have any teachers or counselors or anybody else trying to make moves on the students.
No, ooh, I got one for you. How about
At least do you have?
How about teacher gets dressed up in a toga, lays on the desk, and has male students feed her grapes in front of the class? How about that?
Was the history lesson that day ancient Rome?
It was.
Okay, well.
It was. It was the Julius Caesar portion of the year.
Et tu.
And by the way, when it came to the next day of work, she was there.
Well, there is a double standard.
And the next, and the next, and the next.
The closest thing I have to that was a kid who was a year or two below us. His mom would always host parties at her house for the sophomores, juniors, seniors, and had a reputation as occasionally bringing high school boys into the laundry room.
Oh.
And ending up seven and heavening with him for 7 minutes.
Okay. Hey, Isaiah, have you seen a picture of this woman? Somebody says she was really attractive and the head of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
What's her name?
I haven't heard her name.
Oh, she's an FCA. She's definitely hooking up with students.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, my bad. I bet somebody's saying way back in the day at Westlake. All right, I'm not going to say that name then. Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, but somebody said from the story they read, this teacher had apparently been doing this for years, that it wasn't the first time she did it. But now people, so this has been part of her math teacher shtick all these years.
I'm gonna have to show y'all the video on break. I got it but I'm not trying to take off.
Yeah, no.
What is her name?
I don't know her name. It just says California teacher.
Teacher, Native American chanting.
I'm gonna come watch it. I will come watch the video. Oh my god! All right. So this says this teacher looks hot, has yoga pants on with the headdress.
All right, here.
Wait, she wore a headdress. Okay, I got to come watch this.
I'll watch
the video during a break. Thanks to Isaiah for where we at in society. Up next, it is Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson and host of the Chicken Dinner podcast. Don't move. It's The Horn.